And we turn then to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 7. I would have to confess that it's not a chapter that I've normally turned to for the ministry. A very difficult portion, a very practical portion, and a portion that I think has been so greatly misunderstood. I trust that the Lord will give help tonight. Probably after tonight we'll still disagree over things, but no matter, we'll see what we do. I've been asked to look at the first 16 verses of this chapter, so we'll begin at verse number 1. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has an husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Do you trust that God will bless these scriptures to us tonight? As I say, it's not a chapter which I would normally have chosen had I been coming to speak. But I understand you're going through a series on the Epistle to Corinthians. Really, when we invite a speaker to Lochee, invariably we give him a subject to speak, so we can't really do that and say, no, I'm not going to speak on this. So here we are tonight. You realise that the first six chapters of this epistle are given over to Paul addressing various difficulties and problems and abuses that were existing in the church at Corinth at that time. When we come to chapter 7 through to chapter 14, these are a suggestive outline. Paul addresses now an answer to questions that had been put to him. And the first one is the one we're going to consider tonight, that of marriage. In chapters 15 and 16, the great subject there of the resurrection is the one that Paul discusses. I want to look very simply at five little subheadings, if you like, or little divisions that we find in these 16 verses. The first two verses, verses 1 and 2, I want to think about the importance of making the right decision in marriage. The question was put to Paul, is it good for a man not to touch a woman or not to get married? So I want to think first of all simply about the importance of making the right decision in marriage. Verses 3 to 5, I want to think about the bond of marriage, the bond in marriage. Verses 3 to 5, the responsibilities of the husband and the wife together. Then verses 6 to 9, Paul deals with the question of the unmarried and the widows. And then verses 10 and 11, he speaks to the married couple, the husband and wife. Then verses 10 through to 16, he deals with the situation where one partner in the marriage is not a believer. So he deals with the unbelieving partner. These are the simple headings we want to consider tonight, as God helps. You probably noticed as we read through and over into the next section, verse 17 onwards, you'll notice that Paul sometimes gives his own judgment about things rather than quoting scripture. For example, in verse 6, he says, I say this, or verse 6, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. When you go down to verse number 10, he says, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. And down to verse number 12, he says, to the rest I say, but not the Lord. And then down to verse 25, verse 25, he says, I have no commandment from the Lord. And finally, verse number 40, he says, according to my judgment, he says, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. So in some situations, Paul is giving his own advice. And other times he's giving a command from the Lord. Now, please, we don't want to mix things up here. We believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Although Paul might say he is giving his advice on a particular thing, he's speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If we go down the road where Paul said this, but not the Lord, well, we're into difficult areas there, deep waters. Really, if we take the scriptures as they present themselves to us, that Paul is speaking under divine inspiration, and every word, every verse, every chapter is given under the direct inspiration of the Spirit of God speaking through Paul. So what Paul means really when he says, this is what I'm saying, he's really referring to a situation which the Lord hasn't covered in his ministry, especially in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 5 and verse Matthew 19. So Paul is giving his inspired advice under the inspiration of the Spirit of God on matters which the Lord himself has not fully dealt with. The Lord was speaking about that particular situation in the Gospel of Matthew and so on. So we mustn't think that when Paul says he's giving his advice that it's not inspired. It's no less inspired than all of Scripture. So let's keep that in mind as we look at these verses. So the first two verses, we're thinking of the importance of making the right decision in marriage. He says, concerning the things whereof ye wrote to me. And I wonder, who wrote to Paul? Where did he get his information? How did the questions come to him? And I was thinking about what we read in chapter 1. Of this same epistle, verse 11. He says, it has been declared to me by those of the house of Chloe. Now, whether that was a case that the house of Chloe had brought the questions to Paul or had met Paul under some circumstance, we're not sure. But I want to suggest that Paul gleaned his information about the situation at Corinth. He says, it has been declared unto me by those of the house of Chloe. Can I just go to a bypass meadow just for a minute? Paul was unafraid to name the source of his information. I think there's good lessons for you and I to learn there. If you want to repeat something, make sure we're not afraid to mention the source of it when we're going to say. Paul put a label to what he says. It was declared to me by the elders of the house of Chloe. Let's not get involved in gossip mongering. It's a dangerous path. So I just thought that Paul received his information and received the questions that were troubling the Corinthian church concerning the marriage and divorce and so on, that he had received his information and received the questions from the house of Chloe in chapter 1, verse number 11. And we don't know what to say for certain, but I suggest that that was the way. If we look at verse 26, now I know it's out with my remit tonight, verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. There was a period of distress in Corinth. And Paul was looking at the background of the situation. And he's thinking of all the pressures that were being brought to bear. Corinth was, in Paul's day, a wicked, immoral city where indiscretions were rife. And the way of life was deeply marred by sin. It was a way of life there. There would be persecution. There would be truth that was being taught that was foreign to the mind of God. And there would be opposition. So Paul, I judge, would be thinking along these lines. Now, against that kind of background, it might be better for a man and a woman not to get married. Perhaps just for the present situation. Maybe later, when it's more convenient, and so on. So I think Paul is giving his opinion or his judgment along these lines. And according to the present situation in Corinth, which was a deeply immoral city, Paul is saying it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, he says in verse 2, where the Christians were living in a deeply immoral society. So in order to escape the pressures that were round about them, he says it was better to be married. So Paul was not saying, now don't get married. Paul was saying, consider the situation. And consider whether in that situation you can live for Christ without being married. And Paul says, if you can do that, well, it's better to be like that, be like as I am. So it was seen that Paul was not married. And Paul, you'll deal with that in the next part of the chapter. And Paul says, if it was difficult, if you felt that because of the immoral pressures that have been brought to bear upon the individual life, Paul says, well, in that situation, it's far better to be married. So he says,